A very large study has delivered some answers. The senior author was Professor Emmanuel Stamatakis, who's at the Charles Perkins Centre at the University of Sydney. Welcome to the Health Report, Emmanuel.
Thanks for having me, Norman. Good evening.
Before we dive in, where did this idea of, I've always wondered, where did this idea of 10,000 steps a day come from? It seems like a dream marketing exercise for the companies that sell you those wristbands that monitor your exercise.
The very origins of the 10,000 steps as a target for daily walking originates back to the Tokyo Olympics in 1964.
Oh, long before wearables.
A long time. In fact, it was the advertising campaign for the very first wearable, a pedometer. Do you remember those old-fashioned things called pedometers? They don't really exist anymore because they've been replaced by the wearable trackers. So the advertising campaign was about Manpokei. Manpokei means 10,000 meter in Japanese. So how this target survived over time, I don't think that the intention was to provide a target for the rest of the world for the next 6 or 7 decades. It happened to be a round number that stuck around really and was adopted by manufacturers of wearables, and the media love it because it's a round number, it's easy to memorize.
And just depresses people like me who can't achieve it because it's quite a lot of steps.
It's quite a lot of steps, but I'm jumping now into the results of our studies.
Well, let's talk about this study first because it wasn't done in Australia. It was done with this amazing database in the UK.
Yes, this is the UK Biobank. It's by far the largest resource of wearables data for physical activity, sedentary behavior, and sleep-related research. Over 100,000 people wore wrist accelerometers over 24 hours for 7 days. And just to give you an idea of the scale of this study, now, if you put all previous studies which looked at how daily steps affect health outcomes in general, like mortality, cardiovascular disease, if you merge them, if you pull them all together, you get a data set of approximately 40,000, 45,000 participants. The UK Biobank alone, for the two studies we published concurrently, we used a sample of 78,000 out of these 100,000 participants, which
in just a single study.
A single study. So it's larger than twice the size of all previous studies together.
I mean, just before we get on to the results, sorry to our audience for holding you, the results back, because that's what they want to hear. I mean, did wearing a wearable affect their exercise? So in other words, if you're wearing a wearable, that's going to motivate you to do more. So it might bias the study.
You're absolutely right. So what happens typically in these research studies, you see a little bit of reactivity, what you described is reactivity to wearing a tracker, and which influences the behavior, the walking. You see a reactivity in the first 1 or 2 days of wearing them. And then people get used to it. A very important detail here is that the devices are black boxes. They don't have...
Oh, so it's not giving you data, minute-by-minute feedback.
Exactly. So that's why devices like consumer wearables, like Apple Watches and Fitbits, they're not really, really appropriate for this kind of research. We use all the studies, including UK Biobank, use what we call research-grade wearables, are black boxes, buttons.
You've convinced me. Let's let's hear what you found.
Okay, so one of the two studies were submitted to journals independently. We had slightly different aims. We wanted to see the dose, what we call the dose response, the amount of daily steps that seem to be associated with benefits for dementia prevention, risk of dementia. That was one paper. And the second paper was the same research question, the number of daily steps associated with lower risk of mortality, cardiovascular disease, incident mortality, and cancer. We found fairly consistent findings across the two studies in the sense that, first of all, we saw that, and this is a very important finding that indirectly answers your question about you're not doing 10,000 steps, we saw benefits. We saw benefits from much lower levels of daily stepping, lower than the 10,000 steps.
In fact, from 4,000 steps, if I'm right.
3,000, 8,000 steps.
3,800.
800 steps seem to provide half of the total effect. They lower dementia risk by 25%. 10,000 steps lower dementia risk, for example, by 50%. So half of the effect is already present with very low numbers of steps, relatively.
And there was a steady increase in between the two. And you seem to, with both studies, whether it's for heart disease, premature death, and cancer, mm-hmm. you maxed out at 10,000 steps. More than 10,000 steps, you didn't get much of a benefit. It was what gave you more benefit was the intensity of the exercise.
Yeah. For every 2,000 steps, the mortality in cardiovascular disease study showed that for every 2,000 steps, you get an approximately a 10% decrease in risk. It's true that the sweet spot, the optimal benefit turned out to be around 10,000 steps, which is, by the way, I need to clarify, we were not looking for that. We were very agnostic in how we did the study. The study was based on a predetermined protocol, so we were not looking to verify in any way 10,000 steps, and we were quite surprised, actually, when we did.
So where does intensity fit in?
Intensity,
how hard you're working?
Intensity, yeah. The key finding, the headline finding with intensity, and that's a very, very important also finding, because it looks like that intensity seems to bring additional benefits over and above the total number of steps. And I need to clarify that this is not about average intensity. So in our studies, we did not use average intensity as a marker, average, let's say, cadence, average walking pace. We used a specific measure called peak 30-minute cadence. And what that is basically summarizes the 30 fastest minutes of walking, the cadence from the 30 fastest minutes of walking per day, and then we average them across the up to 7 days of wear time.
So is this a bit like high intensity, a mild form of high intensity interval training where you've got a spurt during your period of exercise?
You are very close. You are very, very close, because this is pretty much this is what this marker of intensity reflects. Short bursts of fast walking. So it's not necessarily about people who walk on average across the whole week, walk faster, but it's about those people who reach more frequently high-intensity walking. So that highlights the value of short bursts of power walking. I mean, at a practical level, if we were to convert this finding into advice, we could say that people could walk in whatever pace. Some people may prefer a leisurely pace when they move from point A to B. Make sure that during this walk from point A to B, you maximize the pace for 1, 2, 3 minutes.
So does this mean I've got to go out and get a Fitbit, or does it translate into time? So the timing, the recommendation is 45 minutes to an hour most days of the week, muscle, and maybe you can get away with a bit less if you've got high intensity exercise. Do you really need to count your steps?
In the case of walking, I don't think it's necessary. Trackers can help. Trackers certainly can help, because they help you monitor your total number of steps. Now, when it comes to maximizing the intensity, the rule of thumb here is that if you walk and you can sing, means you walk at a light intensity. If you can walk while walking, you cannot sing, but you can speak comfortably, moderate intensity. If you find it hard to speak, that means that you are reaching vigorous intensity. So this is the target. The target is to, from time to time, to aim for high intensity walking, vigorous intensity walking. A tracker could help. I don't think that many trackers out there, commercial trackers, have incorporated
your ability to sing. I can understand that.
Stepping cadence. We are talking to some of them at the moment. As you can imagine, we got a lot of interest from industry as well with these studies, and we're talking to some of them, hoping to convince them to incorporate some of these features in the next generation of trackers.
Really interesting. Thanks, Emmanuel.
Thank you very much.
Emmanuel Stamatakis is Professor of Physical Activity, Lifestyle and Population Health at Sydney University's Charles Perkins Centre.
Getting in touch with ABCRN is easy. Join the conversation live using the ABC Listen app's call and text features.